Okay, it's 11:15, so I think I'll get started because I think we're on a schedule here. So my name's Suzanne Kennedy. I work at Evolving Web, and I'm a co-founder at Evolving Web, but I also do a lot of site building and theming. And since most of the websites we build at Evolving Web are multilingual, I end up doing a lot of multilingual site configuration. And as Drupal grows and gets more and more sophisticated, the multilingual features that Drupal offers are becoming more and more sophisticated. And that's great because the multilingual websites that we have to build are very complex. Now, why are multilingual websites so complex? You know, we're just talking about adding content in more languages, right? Just more web pages. But one of the reasons they're so complex is because they're so different from each other. There's a lot of variety in the use cases we get with multilingual websites. We have clients asking for lots of different kinds of configurations, and people want to consume content different ways, and so we get a lot of different use cases. For example, some websites, you see, this is a site we built, allhotels.com. All the content on the website is translated. Every single piece of content is not published until it's been translated. We have to do big content imports, so it's a lot of work to coordinate all those translation efforts. And the site is in 8 languages, so that adds a lot of complexity just to get all those elements into the website in each language. The content, the taxonomy, the menus, all these different elements that Drupal has to manage. And then when you look at the translation workflow of a site like that, you look at the administrative pages and you have to figure out, okay, how do we know what languages the content is already in? How do we keep track of content as it's being translated if there's changes to the content? And we get lots of problems arising here. Other websites, you see this a lot. They're not so symmetric. Content is not translated into every language. When you change the language switcher, sometimes half the content disappears, like this website for the CSST. Switch into English and all the content disappears, and it's just totally not symmetric. And that raises a lot of problems, too, for site builders, because what do you do when you switch the language and the translation's not there? Do you show them the content in the original language, the untranslated text? Or do you show them a page saying this content is not available? Or, you know, what do you do? Do you even give them the option of switching the language? Maybe the content is so completely different that you don't even want to have a language switcher. And then you have websites like the Drupal Camp Montreal website, where it's all ad hoc. You know, translations are just being added as people decide to write translations, and even though everything is supposed to be translated, it's not. And so it's hard to come up with rules in this case because we are not so organized. So why is there so much variation? I think there's a few factors at work here. First, you have lots of different kinds of audiences. So some audiences speak more than one language, especially in a place like Montreal where a lot of people speak French and English. So you don't necessarily want to hide content from them that's in a different language than the language they've chosen. You also get other situations, I think, where language is often tied to a particular group of people that you're targeting in a particular location. Say you're targeting people who speak... say you have a website for people in the United States and people in Europe, and you know that people who speak certain languages are probably going to be in Europe and not in the United States. And so you might be targeting not just a language at those users, but also particular information that you want to convey to them. And then you have content. And sometimes content, as I was saying, is very symmetric across languages, but there's also lots of cases when it's not, and for good reason. Sometimes the translations just aren't available. And sometimes you have content that's language independent. So if you think about websites that have event signups, we store these as Drupal as content, but when you have people signing up for events, that's not really something that you want to tie to language. So just because you're translating it, you don't necessarily want it to be, just because you're translating certain parts of the content, other parts of the content should stay language neutral. And then you have different kinds of workflows. Like I was mentioning, you know, Drupal Camp Montreal website, the workflow content was, you know, content just gets translated as people come to it, but other sites, content needs to stay unpublished until it gets translated. And workflows can be really complicated. Sometimes you get people doing all the translations from one language to another, say from English to French, but on other sites you'll have it going both ways. Some language will be originally written in French and translated to English, and for other pieces of content it'll be the opposite. So how does this all work in Drupal? Like I was saying, multilingual websites are very complex, and so the modules we have to use to build multilingual websites are very complex. We have in core the locale module and the content translation module. So if you're just building a website in a language other than English, you can just use the locale module to install other languages and provide a user interface in other languages. And you can flag content in particular languages. And then if you want to start building a multilingual site with more, so locale works for flagging content in different languages, but not all kinds of elements in Drupal fall into that category. So things like menu items, blocks, and taxonomy terms, you're going to need a more sophisticated module like internationalization that tries to translate all kinds of other elements. And then once you start taking translation into the mix, so not just saying some of this content is in English, some of it's in French, some of it's in Spanish, but actually saying this piece of content is a translation of this other piece, then you need a way of managing translations. So we have the content translation module, which is in core in Drupal. And then there's a new module for Drupal 7 called entity translation, and it's for translating content on the field level. And I'll get into that in a bit. I don't know if any of you have used entity translation here. Anyone? So this is one of the things that was being worked on at the Code Sprint earlier this week. It's a really exciting module, and so I'll get into that a little bit later. So for today's use case, I'm going to try and just take one example. Say we're building an intranet site for a big corporation. It's an international organization, Rocket Science Inc. We have employees in different countries. France, Germany, USA, so we have three languages on the site, French, English, and German. And sometimes language is tied to location in this case, because most of the people speaking those three languages are in three different countries. And the content is sometimes symmetric, but sometimes we have content that's untranslated and not symmetric. So we have both kinds on the same site, so we have to deal with different use cases there. And then in terms of the workflow, I don't think we're going to have time to get into this too much, but basically the translations are not always in sync, and it kind of depends on the content type. So for one type of content, maybe the translation workflow will be very fixed, and others it won't be. So to start off building the website, we're, you know, how many of you have built a multilingual website before? So most of you. So installing languages, you have to install your three languages. The biggest question here that comes up is what the default language of a site should be. And this is something that's kind of crucial, because when we're translating certain settings in Drupal, we have to be aware that we're translating from the default language that we choose. So changing this later on is going to cause problems in your site configuration. So it's important to get this right. For our website, we're using English because this is a Anglo-centric company. And next, language negotiation. Language negotiation in Drupal 7 is really nice because you can you have a lot more control over how different types of factors determine what language the site will be presented in. So basically, language negotiation means that when a user comes to a page, somehow the website has to figure out what language the site should be displayed in. And so you might think this is really straightforward, like, oh, it should just be the URL. Usually, I think, you know, you want to let users change their change the URL to change what language the site is in. That's why we have things like language switchers. But when a user first comes to the site, you know, it's nice if the you know, users have a language set in their browser, and so it's nice if you first come to a website and your browser language is French, it's nice if the website actually shows up in French. So language negotiation gives us control over that. So while we can set URL as the first item, if you come to the home page and there's no language prefix added, then the browser detection can take over. Or in our case, user preference. Because this is an intranet, we're expecting most people to be logged into the site. And so in their user account, they can set what language they prefer to view the site in. So you could set user preference to be the first item, but I want to let my users override that language by switching it with the language switcher, so I put the URL first. So next, we're going to talk about multilingual variables. This is a submodule of the internationalization package. In Drupal 7, it's a really much improved feature because we can select in the user interface which settings in Drupal we want to make multilingual. For those of you who have built Drupal 6 sites, you'll remember that you had to set this in the settings.php file. So this includes text settings like the site title and the slogan, which generally you'll want to make multilingual. But there's lots of other settings that may or may not make sense to make multilingual depending on the setup of your site. For example, the site homepage, if that's actually a node, then you're going to probably want to set it to be a different node for each language of your site. So you'll want to set that up as a multilingual variable. So there's two screenshots here, and the one on the left is where you actually decide which settings you want to make multilingual, and on the right I'm just showing you an example of the site information page. So you just have to switch the language of the site to change which setting you're which language you're updating the settings in. And just to show you another example of this, so for most sites, you probably, I don't know if you can see, sorry? You can't see this? I'm sorry. So one of the variables you had here that was an option to make multilingual is the time zone. For the default time zone for a user, and so you might want to make this multilingual because you might want users who speak German to have the default time zone be the time zone in Germany because you expect them to be there and not in our time zone. So different sites are going to have different needs for multilingual variables, and that's why it's great that we have such granular control over what we can make multilingual and what we can leave. So also the homepage, this is another great example. The homepage of our website is going to be different for each language. It's going to be a different node, so we can make that a multilingual variable and set that differently for each language. So what else do you need to make multilingual on a site? You have three languages installed. You have the title of the site translated. Before we get to the content, I'm just going to talk about a couple other things, I guess. The internationalization module provides features for translating blocks. And you have settings for translating blocks on the block level. So you can have different settings for each block, which is really nice, because you might want some blocks to be translated and to be available to users in each language, but other blocks might target a particular language. So this is just the via the block configuration page when you're editing a block. These are the visibility settings available for language. So I'm targeting this block for all three languages. And then when I'm actually through that interface in Drupal 7, you can actually translate the block itself. You don't have to go to a different page. You don't have to create two blocks that map to each other. It's really nice. This works really well if you want the blocks, if you want a block to be in the same place in all languages. So, for example, this block is help us translate the website. So, say I want to target this just to French and German users of the site, because I don't expect the English users of the site to speak any other languages. So I can go back here and choose just French and German instead of English, and not show the block to English users. So here you can see the two blocks on the left side that I've created. So say formation en français, that block I just want to show to French users, so I won't show it to German users because it's just training in French. There's probably no reason for German and English speakers to go to that training. So now I'm going to move on to content translation, which is a little bit more complicated, I guess, and hopefully interesting to all of you. So there's two methods of content translation that I'm going to talk about, provided by two modules. This is a nice diagram that Gabor put together for his video on multilingual Drupal 8 development stuff. So on the left, there's node translation, and on the right is field translation. And node translation, that's provided by a content translation module. Field translation is provided by the entity translation module. It's a bit confusing, all the names, nodes, and content, and fields, and entities, but hopefully that it will all make a bit more sense after this segment. So node translation is when is probably what you've used if you've built a, well, probably what all of you have used to build multilingual sites. It's when you have a set of nodes in a translation set when you're translating content. So say you start out with an About Us page and you want to translate it into French and German. You'll end up with three nodes, one in each language, and they're mapped together as a translation set. So when you use the language switcher to switch the language of the site, you'll see each node in each language, but it'll be stored as a separate node. And field translation is when we just have one node for each piece of content, but we decide, okay, I want the body of the node to be translated, so I'm going to make that translatable. And I'm going to make the title of the node translated, so I'm going to make that translatable. So you choose certain fields to be translatable, but you can leave other ones not translatable, so that they'll just be one value for all the translations of the content. And this is just to give you an idea, when you're editing the content type, under the publishing options, you have options for multilingual support, and this is where you can choose whether you want entity translation or just the regular content translation to be enabled. And this interface might change. I think that was one of the things that was being worked on this week. So just to give you an idea of why you might use one or the other, we'll go back to our use case. So we're building this intranet site, and we're going to create a whole bunch of information about employee policies, HR policies. And this information is not going to be identical for both sites. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be structured a bit differently. But some pages will have translations. So there's going to be a landing page for all the employee benefit information, and that's going to be a translation. But some of the subpages might not exist. The menu structure is going to be different. So, and some of it could target different audiences. There might be different comments for the different languages. And so we want to store it as separate nodes. So we're just going to use content translation. And so then when you're translating the content, you're probably familiar with this screen where you have an option to add a translation, to edit translations of the node, and then you can even, down at the bottom, specify what node you want to add as the translation if the translated node already exists. And in these cases, sometimes you will want to synchronize one field. Like, I often find that I want to synchronize the taxonomy terms associated with translated nodes, because I don't want to make sure that they're always in sync, and it often seems to make sense. So in this case, I think it makes sense. So we're going to make the topics taxonomy synchronized. Synchronized translations is a submodule of the internationalization package. So if you're using that. And it's improved in Drupal 7 because more things in Drupal 7 are fields, so you have the opportunity to synchronize more elements of the nodes. No, this is still for content translation. So for content translation, you can synchronize particular fields, but by default, everything is stored separately on separate nodes, and it's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, it's sort of a split. I mean, in Drupal 6, we didn't have entity translation, so synchronized translation was the only option for synchronizing things. The thing about synchronized translations is that you can't synchronize everything. There are certain things that aren't fields. You'll see in a minute, I have some examples, but it only works for fields, and it's like you have to choose things that need to be synchronized rather than with field translations. It's kind of the opposite. You choose you have to select what you want to make translatable. It's any language. So when you update any node in the translation set, all the other nodes will be updated with the same values from whatever you're editing. So, and just to give some sort of caveats on it, like it seems to be this magical thing, but say for images, I often want to make images translated. So I think, oh, I'll synchronize images. But then if you add, say, an alt text to images, well, then the alt text is still in a language. Or sometimes people decide, oh, I'm going to add some text to this image, and then you realize, well, I guess it really should be translated. So you have to kind of choose carefully what on a node you want to translate and what you don't. But it's very useful, nonetheless. So also just to demonstrate for this content type, we have employee benefits here in this menu. I don't know, can you see that at all? This is a menu that's been localized. So I'm listing the employee benefits there in English and French. These are the HR policy pages. But then in the French, I have an extra menu item there. So I'm starting to build up a different menu structure for the French content than I would for the English. And so it's nice to have separate nodes for these things. Now for entity translation, like I mentioned, it's good for language independent content or nodes that have some content that isn't really in any language at all. So for groups, if you've used organic groups with multilingual, you'll know that it can be a big problem because you end up setting up two nodes, one for each group, and then there's no way to synchronize the memberships or the settings for the group across those languages. So it would be really nice if you could just have one node instead. Same thing for things like events when you have signups or products. Because products are involved in transactions and they have prices and attributes, and you want to make sure that those are really in sync for both languages and treated the same. And then things like issues. So imagine on Drupal.org, if somebody crazy decided to make Drupal.org multilingual, imagine if you had a different node for each issue and trying to keep track of who it's assigned to and what the status is, and if users are flagging issues as I want to keep track of this issue, then or you want to receive an email notification when it's updated, it's going to get really complicated if you have a separate node for each one of those. If you have a separate node for each language. So for our website, our intranet, we're going to use entity translations for events. And we're going to have some language-independent fields, like date, the signups. Sorry, this isn't a field, but we're going to use the flag module. Are you all familiar with the flag module? So we're going to let users flag events as, I'm signed up for this event. And we want that to be language-independent. And same with the event type, so the taxonomy. And certain things we want to make translated, so the title and body of the event, we do want to translate. And the entity translation module lets us do this. So maybe this is kind of... I want to actually show you the site, looking at the site and showing you how this works. Because I think that'll be a bit more effective. But basically how it works is you create the content in one language, and then you translate it to the others. And this looks kind of like the content translation interface that we looked at just a minute ago. But when you're adding these translations, all the fields aren't available. So the date field isn't available because I didn't make that translatable. So you're just kind of translating the particular fields. And then also for this content type, I want to make comments common to all languages. I want comments in other languages to show up, even if they're not in your language. So there's an option when you're editing the comment settings for content types that lets you filter comments per language. And if you uncheck this checkbox, then all the comments for the node will be displayed no matter what language they're in. So, let's see. I want to actually show you how this works. So this is the website that I set up as kind of a demo of these multilingual features. So if I'm looking at events, I have this node that I've created, aircraft optimization training, and it's translated with entity translation. So when I go to translate, I have the content in English. See how it's marked original content? That's because it's the first language that I made the content in. And then I can add a French translation. it's, I don't know how to say this in French. Sorry. I'll just call it formation. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay. And then when you look at the note and you switch to French, it shows up as translated. But you'll notice that when I edited, when I just go to edit the node, it's showing me the English because that's sort of the original content. That's the language of the original content. Let's see how I can show this better. Yeah, I'll switch back into English. So like I was saying, this is a content type that's set up for translation with entity translation. So like in the comments settings, comments are not filtered by language. Yeah, it's based on content type. So it's really nice that you can do it different ways for different content types, though. That really does provide a lot of flexibility, especially if you're upgrading from Drupal 6. And so your content is already going to be translated with content translation, but you want to add new content types that use entity translation. Makes that possible. Right. That's what I should show you here. So this is the event content type. Yeah. Right. Synchronized translations only works between nodes in a translation set. So if you're using entity translation, you're only going to have one node. So synchronized translations isn't going to have any effect. Right. So I think that's a... Right, so I think that might just be a UI thing where maybe that should be grayed out or something, but it's not going to have any effect for a content type that has entity translation enabled. Right? Yeah. So let me just show you how to make a field translatable. So this is the field management page, and I'm going to edit the body, and down at the bottom here, on the field settings page for the field, there's a checkbox, users may translate this field. So that toggles on and off whether this field is translatable. And the other thing I should mention is that the title field, titles are not actually fields in Drupal 7. They're just an element on a node. So you need to use the title module to make titles translatable, and once you do that, there'll be a little link to replace the title with a title field. And then once it's set up as a field, it's just the same as the body, where you can go to the field settings and there's a checkbox to make it translatable. One other thing I should mention is that entity translation works for all kinds of entities, not just nodes. I think nodes are the first thing we kind of think of when we think of content. But entities are also users and comments and taxonomy terms. So on this site, we can use entity translation to translate those things as well. For example, if I go to the user page, I can translate this user, and I have the same interface here where I can add a translation of the user in other languages. Oh, that's a nice. That's a good question. The title module works for comments, taxonomy terms, but not users, I think. Yeah, one thing to note about taxonomy terms, when you're setting up entity translation for a certain content type and you want to make the terms translatable, the way to do that is not to mark the field as allow users to translate this field, because that's just going to let users choose different taxonomy terms for different translations, for different languages. So if you want to have different taxonomy terms applying to the same content in different languages, then that's what you should do. But it's not going to actually allow you to translate the terms themselves, like localize the terms. So you still need to use either IETN or, entity translation for taxonomy, although that's not something I have any experience with. So I think does this end at noon? Okay. Really the only way is to use synchronized translations to try and synchronize the fields that you need. Yeah, I know people who have set up e-commerce websites, multilingual e-commerce websites in Drupal 6 have ended up just adding fields, like saying this is the French description, this is the English description, that kind of thing. And that, you know, those kind of solutions are kind of problematic. I found we set up sites in Drupal 6 with organic groups, and I ended up making a group profile node so that I would just... group profile content type, and then for each group, I would create one profile for each language. But that's also, it ends up being really problematic, especially with the title. It's hard when you want to list the groups, and then you have the title of the group, and you need to always be pulling it out of this other node. So there's not any really great solution. Just a lot of workarounds. Yeah, upgrade to Drupal 7. Start using entity translations. The URLs provides a way to translate them. So when you're editing the translation here, you're also editing the URL. There is also path translation. I don't know if you're talking about for nodes or. Oh, right. So you're talking about for views and things. There's a path translation module that lets you associate different paths. So you create a translation set of paths, and you specify the corresponding paths for each language. But that, I mean, the difficult use cases we've come up with translation of paths for views is when you want to put variables in like you want to have arguments that are also translated, like you want to put a taxonomy term into a views path, and you want that to be translated. I don't know. I think the path translation it's in the I18N for Drupal 7, but I don't know how much of an improvement it is. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, that's a really good question. Well, I guess we're talking about URLs, so from that perspective, I guess since there's a URL for each translation, then you get the value of, you know, when you add content in each language, there's a lot of SEO value that comes from that. The problem. Okay, but the problem with the model where you have a translation set is that when there's no translation of a particular node, you know, you end up sometimes viewing the node in another language than it's written in. So you'll end up, you know, viewing English nodes, but all the interface is in French, and then you have two URLs for the same node. There's a redirect submodule for internationalization that helps with that, but I don't know enough about SEO to really know. Any other questions? Yeah, so the question is about variable translation and how to make because core variables in Drupal are translatable with multilingual variables, but what about contributed modules? So there's the multilingual variables module depends on a module called variable, and there's a way for contributed modules to implement a hook that gives information about variables to that module. So if you implement that, or if a contributed module that you're using implements it, then they should be translatable in the same way. Right. No, that doesn't work. So if you put the same thing into your settings.php file in Drupal 7 like you did in Drupal 6, it's not going to have any effect. But you use the interface instead, the user interface that's provided, and to make variables from contributed modules show up there, you need to implement a hook. There's going to be a BOF, I think, sometime tomorrow afternoon, maybe, about how people are using multilingual features in Drupal, and sort of a venting session so you can complain about all the problems you're having. So come out to that. And then I also put up some more resources here, and I'll put these slides up on the session page. So if you have any more questions, feel free to come down and ask. And also, you know, there's lots of other multilingual experts here, like Gabor, and Alex has been working on the sprint, and so have lots of other people. So continue the conversation.